Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Justin Lockamy. I've grown up at New Hope, and I was baptized here 14 years ago. As a young child, I always knew that Jesus and God were in my life. So when I saw my friend get baptized, I went home and asked my parents about what happened. It was that afternoon that I asked Jesus into my heart. Soon thereafter, I came forward in church, and a few months later, I myself was baptized. Life went on, and as a child, I learned more about Jesus and the Bible whenever I got the chance. And even though I learned and knew so much about Jesus, it wasn't until youth group and the mission trips that I took during that time in my life that I was able to feel a personal relationship with God. The summer of 2014 was particularly impactful for me. That was the first year that I could go on all three of the mission trips, and each of them left a huge impact on my life. Prior to that point, I wasn't being the kind of Christian that God wanted me to be. I was by no means bad, but in looking back at that point in my life, I'm reminded of the church in Laodicea from Revelations 3, the church that was lukewarm in their faith. And it was in that context that I went on the first trip of that summer to Asheville. Something about my experience there just broke me down, and I ended up rededicating my life to Christ. The next trip we took was to Passport, and during the week in between the two trips, I felt a sadness. I knew I needed to change, but it was overwhelming. One morning at devotion, I was sitting outside, enjoying the peace and quiet of the morning with my Bible open in my lap. And suddenly, a gust of wind broke the peace of that morning, and it blew my Bible back a few books. And as suddenly as it began, the wind ended when my Bible was opened to Ephesians. And I ended up reading Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. And it said, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." And I can't explain why, but those words were exactly what I needed to hear in that moment. I left that trip rejuvenated and excited to see exactly what God had in store for me. And next, I went to Honduras. Now, those of you who do know me know that I love the country of Honduras. I love the culture of Honduras and especially the people of Honduras. And that summer was my first exposure to this place where I would first feel my call into ministry. The summer of 2016, I spent 4 weeks working in Honduras with Mike and Ginger Green. And I wish so very badly that I could point to a single moment during my time there that summer and say definitively that that is when I first felt called to ministry, but I cannot. I do, however, know that when I came home, I felt God calling me, but I was scared. Growing up, whenever I would go home and say that all that what I was learning at church, my parents would tell me that I was going to become a minister, jokingly. I would always say, no, that's not for me. When I came home from Honduras that summer, maybe a day or two after getting back, my dad came up to me and he said that he had sensed something had changed in me. And as good-natured as that comment was, it scared me and confused me so much. I couldn't figure out if this call I was hearing was coming from God or from my dad. Or at least that's what I told myself, trying to keep that feeling in the back of my mind. And it was pretty effective at doing that. Then I started my freshman year at NC State. I told myself that my faith was going to be something I wanted to keep as a priority. But I told myself also that I could do it on my own. But through the persistence of my dad and from Lizzie, I agreed to go to a couple meetings of the Cooperative Baptist Student Fellowship, which was just being started that fall. And the first meeting at CBSF was what I call the Bible study. I knew that that place was home. CBSF meets on Thursday nights, and New Hope here meets on Sunday mornings. And I had a job where I had to choose one of those times to work and another to grow in my faith. At that time, there wasn't a college Sunday school class, so I chose to go to Bible study. And several months went by, but I had this unshakable feeling that I was missing something in my life. And so I tried going back to church on Sundays, and that feeling went away. Ever since, I've been coming back to church as many Sundays as I can, and that feeling has stayed away. In the summer of 2017, I ended up going back to Honduras, and this time for 5 weeks. This time, I again felt that call from God, and it was a lot clearer. When I came home, I confided in my girlfriend, Anna, which at this point we hadn't known each other for very long. When I told her that I might be feeling a call to ministry, she got a real big smile on her face and she said, "I'm not surprised." And that was a huge affirmation for me that this call indeed was coming from God. In the fall of 2018, something changed for me. I had joined the leadership team for my Bible study, and along with that, I began leading the small groups for the NC State students. And those nights were so much fun, and I was able to help grow in my faith and help others grow in their faiths as well. And I can't explain exactly the feelings that I was feeling for that time, but I do know that it just felt right. And another responsibility that I had was helping to lead the fall retreat that CBSF took. I led the first session of that trip, and I again had that feeling of something just being right. Another activity that we participated in during that trip went something like this. Everybody had a pad of sticky notes, and on each sticky note, you were to write an asset that you see in somebody else in the room. And once everybody had written all these assets, they handed them out to the people that they belonged to. And our job was to come up with 3 vocations or careers, looking at all those assets, and try to encompass as many of them as possible. Lizzie ended up reading my list while I was cutting out the piece of paper for the chart, and she comes up to me and she says something along the lines of, "I think you know what you need to put." And when I read my cards, the rest of the trip became a blur. We were supposed to come up with 3 different vocations, but I looked at the assets all my friends saw in me, and I could see that they were all pointing to exactly one thing: ministry. And so within 3 weeks of coming back from that trip, I came forward in church and shared with you, my family, my call to ministry. Today, I'm doing whatever I can to follow this call. I know what I want to think that God is calling me to do, but I cannot pretend to know all that God has in store for me. But what I do know is that I am committed to following God's call wherever it takes me. Thank you. And I would like to call up Taylor to share her story.
Good morning. Okay, so for y'all that don't know me, my name is Taylor Edwards. I grew up in a Christian home, and I've been attending New Hope ever since I can remember. When I was 8 years old, New Hope hosted a group called the Power Team. It was pretty much a group of insanely strong guys that broke cinder blocks and attributed their amazing talents to God. After their show, they had an altar call, and they told everyone to close their eyes, and if they wanted to accept Jesus as their savior, to stand up. Well, being the sneaky little 8-year-old I was, I peeked. And I saw a bunch of people standing up, so I thought, oh, I have to stand up too. And so I did. And when everyone else opened their eyes, my mom saw that I stood up, so she walked me down front, and I was baptized a few weeks later. At that age, I knew that God was real, and I knew that Jesus died on the cross for me, but I had no idea what that exactly meant. I definitely had no idea how important of a decision I had just made. I kept attending church on Sundays and growing my faith, but I wasn't very involved in church besides that. When I got to middle school, my spiritual life took off. I started attending North Raleigh Christian Academy, and at NRCA, I was able to learn about God every day and grow in my faith more than I had ever had. Every year at NRCA, they have an event called Spiritual Emphasis, and during Spiritual Emphasis Week, we have a speaker come and a band come, and we learn about God, and we're able to worship God. And that was the first time I ever experienced the presence of God in a room. And I remember going down in the front of the auditorium and kneeling before God because I was so amazed by his goodness and like how much he loves me. That was the night that I rededicated my life to Christ. And while I was learning about God in school and growing in my faith, I still was not very active at church, and especially in youth group. When I was in sixth grade, I was the shy little girl that sat in the corner and didn't talk to anyone. And that changed when I went to eighth grade. In eighth grade, I got involved in dinner theater, and dinner theater helped me break out of my comfort zone. And I made friends that I still have to this day, and I started getting involved in youth group. That summer, I went on my first mission trip, and I was hooked. I went to every retreat, lock-in, dinner theater, and of course, mission trips. So the next summer, I got the opportunity to go to a mission trip to Asheville, North Carolina. And I got the greatest pleasure working with a family called the Warren family. And their compassion and open hearts and love for God was so incredible to me. And it really helped me get through a time of struggle. During that time, I was struggling with my worth in God. I didn't know why he would die for me of all people. I kept on asking, what's so special about me? Why does God love me this much? What did I do to deserve this? I don't think I did anything. Well, on one of the nights of devotion, Brian asked anyone if they had a decision that they wanted to make. And my best friend stood up and said that he had accepted Christ as his savior. And I immediately started bawling because I finally found my purpose in life. I realized then that my purpose was to bring people to Christ, no matter what I did in life. And so, fast forward to my senior year of high school, graduation Sunday was coming up, and Brian asked me if I would prepare a sermon to preach on graduation Sunday. So, I said yes. I thought of a few topics I wanted to talk about, but I knew that there was one topic that was heavy on my heart. And that was, there are no goodbyes with Christ. I got the idea from my first mission trip to Honduras. Miss Ginger would always tell me that it's not goodbye, it's see you soon. So I wrote about the unexpected passing of my grandmother, the passing of my great uncle, graduating high school, and going off to college. And all those things that happened my senior year all happened so fast and all at once that the only thing that gave me hope was see you soon. So I shared my sermon on graduation Sunday, and Miss Ginger saw a video that I think my mom posted, and so she asked me if I would share my sermon at the house dedication in Honduras that summer. So I said yes. After I shared my sermon, the eldest son of the family, Johnny, spoke up, and he told us a story about how his father passed away, and I could not help but be brought to tears because I realized that if God had not put me through the exact situation, the exact way that he did, I would not have been able to touch Johnny and his family the way that I did, and they definitely would not have been able to touch me the way that they did. When he was telling his story, the finite details in Johnny's story about his father passing and the finite details in my story about my grandmother passing lined up, and I knew that that was God. So after I shared my sermon at the house dedication, that's when people started asking me if I was going into ministry. And I said, no, I'm going into pharmacy. I was about to start college at Campbell University, and I was a pre-pharmacy major, and I was set on being a pharmacist. But God had other plans. When classes started, I met with Lizzie, who attends Divinity School at Campbell, and she introduced me to the dean of the Divinity School. And he said, oh, do I know you? And Lizzie said, not yet. After that conversation, the thought of ministry stayed in the back of my mind. And I went through college. I was growing more in my faith. I was attending a church near my school. And I was also actively going to a ministry group called Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I think I grew more in my faith my freshman year of college than I had in the past 7 years at NRCA. And that's saying a lot because I learned a lot at NRCA. But FCA taught me the importance of diligent prayer. So I started making prayer a priority in my life. My second semester was rough. I wasn't enjoying my classes and they were really hard. So I prayed and I asked God, God, is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I supposed to be a pharmacist? Like, how do I know? Help your girl out, please. And so I prayed that prayer a lot, and it took a lot of praying to realize that God was calling me to ministry. I pondered the question, how do I know I'm being called to ministry? And so the school year passed, and the summer came around, and it was time to go to Honduras again. And that year, there were so many people that wanted to go to Honduras, I wasn't even sure if I was going to be able to go. So I prayed, and I said, God, if you want me on this team, you'll put me on this team. But if you do put me on this team, I know that you're going to do something amazing this week. Sure enough, God did put me on the team, and God did do something amazing. I went into the week praying for God to do something in my life. And I was also still wondering how to tell if I was being called to ministry. Monday, July 23rd, the team was working on the campus, moving giant rocks. I happened to drop one of those giant rocks in my hand, and so I was sitting on the hill with Brian and another chaperone while I was icing my hand. And all of a sudden, I got the urge to ask Brian how he knew he was being called to ministry. But I was a little hesitant until it was almost like I heard a voice saying, "Ask him now." So I did. And Brian told me his story, and he even told me about how when he went in front of the church to tell the congregation that he was being called to ministry, some of the cute older ladies in the church said, "Oh, we saw this coming." And then when he had finished, he looked at me almost as if he knew that I was about to say something. And I told him that I had had thoughts about it. And he smiled and he said, "Now I sound like the cute older ladies in the church because I saw this coming." We talked for a while, and one of the chaperones that I was with shared how he felt God was calling him to teach high school Sunday school. They both prayed with me, and in that moment, I felt the presence of God on that hill. I started crying while Brian was praying because that's the moment I knew that God was calling me to ministry. I waited a couple days to announce my decision because I wanted to pray about it more, but I knew without a shadow of a doubt that ministry was what God had planned for my life. Wednesday night after devotions, I told the group that I felt God was calling me to ministry. The whole team laid hands on me and prayed over me, and I once again felt the presence of God. Since then, I have changed my major from pre-pharmacy to Christian studies, and that has been a blessing because I've learned so much about the Bible and God this year, and I've had so many God moments. Just this past week, I was reading a book called Holding Faith by Cynthia Rigby, which is a part of my homework, and I was also kind of stressing about what I should say in my testimony and how I was going to say it. And at the end of the chapter I was reading, I came across the story of Elijah and Queen Jezebel. I want to turn to 1 Kings 19 real quick. It says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, 'May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them.' Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. 'I have had enough, Lord,' he said. 'Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors.' Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, 'Get up and eat.' He looked around, and there by his head was some baked bread over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, 'Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you.' So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He replied, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too.' The Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of God, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And he replied, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too.' And the Lord said to him, 'Go back the way you came.'" So in the story, Elijah's running away from Queen Jezebel because she's trying to kill him. He travels 40 days and 40 nights until he finally reaches his destination at Mount Horeb. He sits down in the cave and rests, and it is then and only then that he hears the voice of God calling him to the mouth of the cave. In short, what God tells Elijah is very different from what Elijah imagines God will tell him. While Elijah apparently accepts God to be fully understanding of his running away from Jezebel and to be very proud of him for being the only one left in Israel, he's wrong. God instead listens to Elijah's story and then simply replies, "Go back the way you came." Something really cool about this passage that I didn't know until this morning, actually, is in Honduras, the campsite that we stay at is called Mount Horeb. And in the past year, there has been an earthquake, there has been a fire, and there's been a whisper. And so I think that this can apply to our own lives, and I know it applies to mine. Because only once I found myself in my version of Elijah's cave was I able to hear God's direction for my life. And I believe that God's timing is perfect and that there is not a doubt in my mind that I'm being called to ministry. I think that that hill on Mount Horeb in Honduras was my cave. And there are so many people in this church that have helped me get to my cave. Mission trips have helped me get to my cave. My friends and my family have helped me get to my cave. And I cannot thank all of you enough for your support. And I'm so excited to see where God calls me in ministry. I'm going to pray, and then we'll continue with service. Dear God, thank you for this day, and thank you for all you've given us. God, I thank you for your goodness and for being with me, Justin, Victoria, and Lizzie, and for calling us into your ministry. God, be with us as we go throughout this week, and let us glorify you in all that we do. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.